Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. What up? Welcome to Maggie and Perloff. The news is coming in like real fast and furious today. So we're going to do our best to stay on top of everything and get it to you, Perloff. But first and foremost, top of the line is the news that Deshaun Watson has settled 20 of the 24 civil cases against him. They are now settled. That matter, or those matters, are closed as far as the legal system is concerned. They still have paperwork and such to get through. Now, there are four cases that are open. One is Ashley Solis. So if you've been following this case pretty closely, she's the first person who came out, put her name on the accusation. She was part of the Real Sports sit down that detailed even more for the public what happened with Deshaun Watson. She is not settled yet. Mm. So she's obviously been very public, and she is not settled. And listen, you know, the New York Times detailed that 66 women have given Deshaun Watson a massage at some point or another. So more women could come out and tell their stories at any time. However, this is news today that 20 of the 24 have settled because we know the NFL investigation into Deshaun Watson is supposedly wrapping up very soon.
It's actually a little surprising to me because I'm probably an idiot, because Deshaun Watson has said a few times, I'm not going to settle. Remember last year at the trade deadline, he had reportedly 18 of 22 cases ready to settle.
Right.
So therefore, we should not be surprised that 20 settled. But after the trade deadline passed and he did not get indicted in criminal court, he seemed like he was saying that he was ready to fight to clear his name and that he also wanted the settlements to be public. And obviously, he recanted on both of those. So that was probably a bunch of phooey.
I mean,
use a sad dad term.
No, but easy to see that he wasn't genuine about trying to take on all of these civil cases.
But I was actually, and the settlement, right, I was much more focused, and tell me if you're like this too, I was much more focused on what's the NFL going to do, because it felt like they had wrapped up their investigation. We knew more accusations could come down the line, but the NFL was giving reports. You know, Mark Massey of the Washington Post floated out a year, which seemed like a trial balloon.
Yep.
So I was much more focused on the NFL side. I did not expect a settlement today.
No, I don't think anyone was expecting it. However, if the Browns and Deshaun Watson are trying to move this thing forward to the point where the NFL can make a ruling and you can start at, well, I'll say it might never be fully behind you again because more women could come out at any moment's notice. But to try to move this thing forward before training camp, so at least the Browns would have an understanding, do we have Deshaun Watson this year for any amount of time, for no amount of time? You know, what's going on with that? I think they probably had an urgency, I would say, from Watson's side to try to settle as many of these cases as possible.
Right, and I think the NFL had an urgency, too. They don't want Deshaun Watson stealing headlines when training camp opens. They would ideally want positive headlines. And this is the exact opposite.
Of course.
It's really been the story of the offseason in the NFL. There's been a lot going on this offseason. But that, I think Deshaun Watson has been the biggest story by far.
Well, because far and away, it's the most serious. You know,
yes.
We are talking about what these women alleged, even if a criminal, this wasn't being tried in a criminal court. Still, the volume in a civil court, you can't turn your back on that. You can't turn away from it. It's impossible to ignore.
And also, he signed a $230 million deal, the biggest deal in the history of the sport. It feels like that was a long time ago. That was this offseason. Like it really has been this overwhelming story. It's been, as we talked about the other day, one of the weirdest off seasons in recent memory. But this story is just kind of overwhelms it all. But I mean, I guess maybe this is the beginning of the end for Watson legally, although it does seem like there's still loose ends legally.
No doubt. Amy Dash is going to join us later on in the show. She's Odyssey's legal expert, so she'll help us sift through some of that angle for it. But, you know, we'll find out what the NFL is going to hand down. I'll make you a bet right now. It comes down on a Friday afternoon in the middle of the summer as the NFL tries probably to bury it a little bit. I don't know what it's going to be. I would think it will be a year minimum. Yep. He might be able to appeal some of that, but I bet it would be a year minimum. I don't know how the Trevor Bauer case maybe, you know, impacts this at all. He got a 2-year suspension from Major League Baseball. They're appealing that. I think that what's interesting to me from a football perspective, and again, like we understand the real world implications here. Like right. This is a distasteful story, no matter how you slice it. We're not trying to move past that or what any of these women have gone through at all. Just thinking about it, though, from a football story angle for a moment, because that's what we are, Sports Talk Radio. If he's suspended for the year, we already know they manipulated the contract, so he only gets paid $1 million. I mean, that's stomach turning from the Browns, but they did that. Do you go a step further and just go organizational tank for the year? If you know that Deshaun's not going to be there, you have a team that's okay. The team's okay. Right. With a great quarterback, they could be great. Their defense is good, has some really nice pieces on it, no doubt. The offense has some nice pieces on it, but I don't think anyone really is looking at the Browns and thinking, without Deshaun Watson, this is like Super Bowl contender. From just the football side of this, should they try to just do a tank with Jacoby Brissett and try to get the highest draft pick possible? Again, like, makes my stomach turn a little bit to think about it, but would that be the smartest thing from a football perspective?
I think it's a little too late to fully organizational tank. Like, they accidentally have too much talent around to go
their schedule is kind of easy, too.
Full Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah. But I think, like, if they're toward the end of the year, and say they decide they're about 4 or 5 wins, let's bench some veterans and let's not rush them back from injury. Because what if the next year's draft, they're looking at Will Anderson out of Alabama, the pass rusher, potentially all-time pass rusher, or they're looking at Jackson Smith and Jigba from Ohio State. Like, you know, I can see them just giving up on the year because they, you know what makes me think that too, that they structured the $1 million contract. They clearly, like, They're anticipating this, and they're willing to sort of say, you know what, you're going to judge us anyway. We're going to just operate on our own sort of standards without any ethics involved here. So, yeah, why would tanking slow them down?
Yeah, I guess, like, if you're in for a penny, in for a pound, you're operating with, like, you know, less than stellar scruples here, so you might as well go the full way. I guess what I would say about this, like, I know this is not going to be an analytical, statistical breakdown for you. I'm going to give you this. You're really going to do that as the Cleveland Browns? Like, in some ways, I almost feel like tempt the sports gods. Like, there's only so many, I feel like, infractions you should be able to have in one time and for one team. Like, you're already going to sign the guy who's dealing with 24 civil lawsuits. Then you're going to give him the highest guaranteed contract of all time. And then you're going to execute a tank. I mean, yikes. That's like the awful trifecta, you know? Like, if you're a fan of that team, you got to be like, good grief. And I know fans are smarter now. We get about tanking and how it can help organizations. But, I mean, at some point, it's like, ugh.
I mean, Maggie,
it becomes so gross.
Whether you like it or not, fans are excited about Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. I mean, there's been so much. Maybe it's just anecdotal, but there's a lot of excitement about it. So they don't consider that a move against them. And tanking, like, I think that Browns fans do not want to see Jacoby Brissett lead them to a 9-8 record. I think they would root against him. You were here in New York
for the
Trevor Lawrence. Like, Jets fans were apoplectic when they won those two games at the end of the year.
They beat the Rams, and it was like the sky is falling. How dare they? And then they beat the Browns, ironically. We're talking about them. And it was like even worse.
Browns are even less ethically guided than Jets. And I mean,
you want to do that as a power ranking?
I just think the fact that Browns fans seem on social media, at least many, many Browns fans seem all in on Deshaun Watson. Like, what do they care about tanking? Jacoby, it just doesn't feel to me like a Jacoby Brissett year with that roster is anything to get excited about. I feel like he's sort of like, we saw what he was in Indianapolis. There's no big ceiling. So I think they're going to look ahead to next year.
I know. It feels like a bridge too far, though, to me. It's like, you can't, like, who's orchestrating this? You know, what is it, Satan? Like, you can't do something like that. I kid. But the thing is about this particular season, they might not be, like, have the schedule to tank, too. You play the AFC East, so that's obviously going to be tough. Of course, your own division, the AFC North, is going to be tough. But then they play the NFC South. Like, besides the Bucs, there's winnable games there. Like, they play the NFC East this year. Like, it's going to be, they're going to run into a couple wins.
Yeah. Well, it's a soft tank, too. They might as well, because
they don't need a soft tank.
Right, they don't need a quarterback. So, right. There's going to be no Trevor Lawrence.
But you're going to have teams who would want to trade up for the number one pick. Like, if you or the number two pick or three, like, if the quarterbacks are as better this year, as much better than we thought from last year, like, there's an obvious jump in talent, that pick's going to be very valuable.
Well, as somebody who's an expert in tanking and processing this whole thing.
Please, Philadelphia fan, weigh in.
I don't think a team's ever really tanked so they can get the number one pick and then trade it. Like, I don't think that's how tanking works. Teams are not that sophisticated. And also, too, this class, like, you got C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young.
So
like,
far.
That's nothing like Trevor Lawrence. Like, they're completely different. Like, Trevor Lawrence was the sure thing.
Right, but the Steelers took Kenny Pickett. Yeah. He was only one guy to go in the first round, but this was kind of thought of as a really ho-hum draft class as far as quarterbacks, and you still had one go in the first
round. But if you look at, like, the recent drafts, like, there's very few tank-worthy quarterbacks. Nobody was tanking to get Jared Goff.
No, they were tanking for Andrew Luck, that I remember the most.
Andrew Luck.
Trevor Lawrence.
Maybe a little Jameis.
Tank for Tua?
That's a good point. But, right, I don't think, like, as of right now, there's not a huge incentive to tank. They don't have no reason to tank. But I just think, like, the expectations are so far down. Like, just everything about this for Browns fans to me screams next year. Nobody's going to even care if they lose. They have no pressure on them.
Okay, but
this is, of course, assuming that Deshaun is actually suspended for this year.
Yeah, which we think. Again, because the NFL likes to float these trial balloons out there with certain reporters, and that appears what they were doing earlier this week. You just kind of learn this stuff because you cover the league for so long. But I guess I would say, again, it's not necessarily a sports gods argument, but, like, you're the Browns and you've had this terrible culture for so long. You've been so bad for so long. You have been the punchline. You have been the example for terrible football, like, for the mistake by the, I mean, the history and the recent history. I mean, 0-16, like, everything about this team, right, has screamed the wrong way to do things. So, now, after a controversial decision to bring in Deshaun Watson, a controversial decision to pay him what you did, and now to tank, you're angering the sports gods. I don't know if there's another entity to appeal to.
I'm not sure they exist anymore.
A deity.
I'm not sure they exist. I mean, besides, like, tanking is nothing compared to what they did with Deshaun Watson, giving him $230 million. So Jacoby Brissett's their quarterback. Like, what's the expectation there? Like, do you think, like, ooh, this guy was, you know, I looked at his career record. He's 14-23. He was basically 7-8 with Indianapolis in his best year.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's upside there. The other thing, too, is, like,
he's a career backup.
The team around him is good, but it's not that full. If you're the Browns, then why not keep Baker if you don't want to tank? If you really don't want to tank, then keep Baker.
Well, it just seemed like the bridge had been totally burned there.
I agree. I don't think there's any way they bring him back, but, like, if you want to keep the sports gods happy, you have a number one overall pick there who's under contract. You can't get rid of him.
I don't know. I still think the Baker's going to end up ultimately on another roster, right?
I do, too. Yeah, I'd be shocked if he was there.
I thought for a moment maybe they could try to work things out with Baker, and maybe you try to, you know, apologize, lure him back to the organization. But I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, and I don't think the Browns are hyped up as, like, this great. Remember, like, people were talking about the Browns as a Super Bowl pick a few years ago? Odell caused a lot of that, I think. Like, having Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. was super exciting. Amari Cooper.
With Donovan Peoples-Jones?
No, this is not that high. It's not like that. They had, like, a really good roster, a lot of. But I think we've also realized you might have the two most talented guys in your backfield, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, but that doesn't mean anything.
Well, I know, having a good run game, look at what it did for, you know, the San Francisco 49ers with a great defense. And you got still Myles Garrett there, obviously. You have Denzel Ward. I mean, you have some really nice pieces.
So why couldn't you win last year? You were more set up last year.
Well, I would say Baker's injury was what ended up kind of tanking the season.
Hand the ball off to Chubb and Hunt.
Well, he got hurt too. Yeah. Chubb did.
Oh, guess what's going to happen this year?
Well, see, and that's another part, right? You want this thing to be clicking on all cylinders for not this year, but for next year.
That's what I am saying.
I get it, but you cannot tempt. I would not tempt that. You're Cleveland. Things could still go so spectacularly wrong so fast.
I can't. There's just no way. What can go worse than being 7-9? What's the difference if you're 3-14 or 7-9? What difference
does it make? Just feels wrong. It feels like adding wrong on top of wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Questionable. Wrong on top of questionable.
Well, listen, maybe these sports gods do exist because the Sixers processed for about 4 years and they ended up with Ben Simmons.
Who's not even on the team.
And they took Markelle Fultz over Jason Tatum. So like...
Yes, and Markelle Fultz, the team he's on, is going to be selecting number one overall in the draft on Thursday. That's how much Orlando stinks.
Yeah, well, no, let's focus here on the Sixers angering the sports gods.
And the Sixers definitely angered the sports gods.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we had to deal with the Ben Simmons mess, and now we have to deal with the James Harden mess. Like, maybe there is something to that. But the Browns, like, honestly, it's like in the history of the Browns, one more losing season isn't going to be noticed.
No, it's like a drop in the bucket. Yeah, and the drop in the loser bucket. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Again, Amy Dash, our legal expert for Odyssey, will join us later on in the show in the next hour to talk about all things Deshaun Watson. Okay, the biggest question going into Thursday's NBA draft. We have the question and... Perloff and I have the answer. It is Maggie and Perloff on a very busy Tuesday, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You can also find us on Twitter at Maggie and Perl, Facebook.com/Maggie and Perloff, Instagram Maggie and Perloff, YouTube channel up and running. We'll talk to you in a minute. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Network, CBS Sports Radio, Sirius XM, channel 158.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination? Because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries. And they've always got your battery solution. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Back on Maggie and Perloff. You can follow us on Twitter at Maggie and Pearl. I tried to get something going last night. Get KD over to the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, that one kind of fell flat.
I tell you, there's a huge, it's completely with no inside knowledge. Every Sixers fan is on Twitter trying to do the same thing, getting his attention, be like, hey, Philly's a nice town, great schools.
Sure, like every other city in America couldn't offer that. But I would say this, like all this legacy talk about KD killed any chance of that ever happening.
See, I don't think people think, it's nothing like that. This Sixers team is nothing like the Warriors team. Like he'd be joining a team that can't get out of the second round. They're not that good.
You're going to join someone, a team where the star player just came in second in MVP voting, and most people think that he probably got hosed. And by the way, James Harden straight up quit on you, and you're going to now go join a team that has a head start of being there? No way.
In NBA time, that was years ago, Maggie. These guys, how many
it's like
times
dog years, the NBA.
How many times
have
the core of the Thunder broken up, got back together again, broken up? I mean, Harden left them in OKC. Doesn't matter. These guys,
Harden got traded. He didn't willingly leave.
Oh, I think he wanted out.
Well, maybe because Houston was offering him this huge contract The Thunder pick Serge Ibaka.
I think he wanted to be out of the shadow of those two guys and have the ball in his hand every single time. But my point is, like, come on. I mean, how many times have these superstars broken up and gotten back together? Russell Westbrook's probably going to be end up with KD again at some point.
No, if I were, you know, what I'd be maybe a little worried about would be not that superstar trio getting back together. Old teammates would be Kyrie and LeBron.
Yeah.
Do those former teammates want a team back?
No, don't discount those Thunder. KD, Harden, Westbrook, those guys will move around. I'm telling you, KD is ready to ditch Kyrie. I know this in my
heart. He's been so loyal to him.
Oh, he is so sick of him. I can guarantee that. I'll bet you.
Wait, you can guarantee me, or are you going to bet me?
Well, ESPN's Nick Friedell reported that he said that there are reports, like he's talked to people inside, that they think KD is over Kyrie. So it's definitely out
there. So the Nets are going to end up with nobody. Like, they're going to end up with Kyrie, and then Kevin Durant, who's signed for like the next 5 years, is going to ask for a trade too.
I was there in Brooklyn when they traded for Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Darren Williams, and were the NBA favorite to win the title. They were the Vegas favorite. Then it fell apart so fast, and I could get courtside tickets for $5. I'm telling you, these things, once they start to fall apart, they fall apart so fast.
Okay, but first of all, that was because Danny Ainge found like a bit of a, I'm not going to say sucker, but he found a general manager who was feeling the urgency because the owner was like breathing down his neck to make something happen. They traded first round picks. They should have never done that. It's like they got fleeced on that deal to bring those guys all together. They gave Darren Williams $100 million. That was a disaster from the start.
But it's honestly got just as good as this disaster. What do you think is going on right now in Brooklyn? You think this is pretty?
No, but these guys still have a chance. Like when it was Pierce and Garnett back then, I never thought, oh, these guys are still in their prime. It was so obvious they were over their prime. Kyrie and Kevin Durant are still in their prime, just maybe moving out of it, but they're still in it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, ironically, the problem was not those two guys. Darren Williams forgot how to play basketball when he got to Brooklyn. It was the most bizarre tanking of a career I've ever seen. I don't know what was going on. But forget all that. Let's talk about some draft.
All right. good luck to the Sixers fan base trying to Kevin Durant to come onto your side. And I'm sure also then once you get to Philly, you know, the fans are going to be totally, you know, not crazy.
That's an old stereotype that I resent. Yeah. Bryce Harper is super happy there. He keeps telling everybody.
Yeah, that $300 million helped. Okay, so we have the NBA draft coming up on Thursday. Burning questions going into this draft. Mike Sampter is going to ask us, and we'll tell you the definitive answer. What do you got, Sam?
So first question, would you draft Chet Holmgren number one overall?
If I'm the general manager of the Orlando Magic, am I drafting Chet Holmgren number one overall? Okay, so this is the incredible thing about Chet Holmgren. He is 7'1", right? 7'1".
Yeah.
He's 195 pounds. Like, huh? How does that even work? Yet it does. If you watch him play, this is someone who is not like Sean Bradley out there. He has serious skills. No offense to Sean Bradley. Perimeter skills. He can play inside. He obviously gets bodied up a little bit because, you know, again, he's 195 pounds at 7'1". He can run the floor. He spots up for threes. He's kind of this, like, crazy modern NBA player, Perloff. It's just his body does not, it looks like a clothes hanger. Like, it doesn't look like it's going to hold up. And for that reason, I would not draft him number one overall.
Okay. If we're in a draft room, I'm taking him number one overall. And this is why. Because the other two guys, I've watched Jabari Smith play. And I understand all the reporters say he's going to go number one now to Orlando.
Yeah, but the odds are have gotten a lot smaller on that. It used to be like minus 550. Now it's like minus 160.
So you've seen him play, right?
Yeah.
He's one of the most uninspired college players. Like, so talented, but he just didn't seem to have that fire. So I'm going to just go completely different. Like, I understand he's a modern player, three-point, and he can play some defense.
Yeah.
Paolo Banchero, to me, seems like an undersized power forward. Like, what is he? Who's his player comp? Who does he become? Who's, like, great in the NBA that has his body type?
The question is about Chet Holmgren. Because you have to.
You can't answer Chet Holmgren unless you look at Banchero and Jabari Smith.
Right.
And I honestly am not thrilled about those guys. Now, I got to be honest. Part of me just, like, because I was 6'4", 145 pounds in high school. I'm all about Team Chet Holmgren.
Wow.
But
that's gangly.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was, every boy hits that stage of their life where they're way too tall for their weight. Chet Holmgren is still there. I think he's so fascinating. He's, to me, the most interesting player to come in this draft. I just don't like the other two guys as much. I mean, I like Paolo a lot, but what's the upside? What's the ceiling? To me, Chet Holmgren's got a bigger ceiling than either of these guys.
Samter, what's next? Very nice.
Swish. Next one. Is there a superstar in this draft?
No way. Like, honestly, like, Jabari, like I said, Jabari Smith throw down the fire. Chet Holmgren is not going to be Joel Embiid. And Paolo Banchero seems, again, I'm just going to say, he's like a bit undersized for what he is. So when I think superstar, I think Kevin Durant. I think Ja Morant. I think anyone whose name ends in ant. I think Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
I think Carl Anthony Towns. Like, those guys, you could see it.
Yep.
And it was obvious. I do not see that player in this draft.
I also do not see this player in the draft. I think this is going to be a very good draft. I think there's reasons to like the top, 10 guys? I mean, the top four seems like they're kind of whatever order you put it in, whether it's Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero, or Perloff's boy, Jaden Ivey. Some sort of wherever you want to put them. But I think, like, top 10, this is going to be a really good draft. But I don't see the superstar, no doubt, like, you know, listen, we get a couple of these every once in a while.
We
get
LeBron, four or five
we get Zion. As you mentioned, like, I think people really thought Anthony Edwards was going to be a big deal. Even though, remember, there were the stories, like, does he love basketball? It was one of those stories because he loves football so much.
Actually, Anthony Edwards out of Georgia, I would not say was a guaranteed. He was sort of, he was kind of unknown in college because he went to Georgia.
But he's just, like, from that area. But this doesn't feel like we're staring down at the next great generational player.
But
very good players.
But the full disclaimer that nobody knows, because, like, everyone thought the Lonzo Ball, Jason Tatum, Markelle Fultz draft was beyond loaded, and that was had very mixed results.
Yeah, and I don't even think, was Giannis even invited to the draft?
No, he went 15, right? Like, yeah, it's a great point. There's so many stars. Like, the NBA is, there's no college anymore, really. So it's a total inexact science.
Last one. The top five teams in the NBA draft are Orlando, Oklahoma City, Houston, Sacramento, and Detroit. So the question is, which of those top five teams in the draft will make the playoffs this year?
That's a trick question, because that's a big fat zero. These are not teams that are ready to win. And I'll tell you maybe a reason why. If I'm going to seriously answer this question, I'd probably say, maybe Detroit? I don't even know what to say. Sacramento, I think, won the most games, obviously, out of all these teams last year. I think they won like 32 games or something, 30 games. But I'd probably say Detroit, maybe because the Eastern Conference Perloff might get a little softer towards the bottom half.
That's a good reason. I have a former coworker. He's a producer of the Dan Patrick Show. He's a diehard Detroit Pistons fan. So I sent him an email saying, ask him this question. He said there's a very good argument to be had. Not only does Detroit have the least athletic roster in the NBA currently, but in a long, long time.
Oh,
I was
wow.
like, that does not sound good. No, no, but you're right. They are in the East. They have Cade Cunningham.
Maybe Orlando? I go with
Josh Giddey in Oklahoma City. They have Shea and Josh Giddey, and there's a rumor that they're going to try and trade up to number four to get Jaden Ivey and then pair him with Holmgren. I just think, like, at least Josh Giddey is a guy who people talk about as a potential star.
You're right.
So that's what you need in the NBA, kind of a tall guard. That would be the bandwagon. And they have Sam Presti, right? Still, I think he's still there.
Yeah.
So I kind of believe in him. Those are my two reasons. But I'm kind of with you. I don't feel strong about it.
You believe in him because his ability to collect draft assets. Okay, so here's a name that you're going to hear a lot coming up over the next couple of months. Perloff, his name is Victor Wembanyama. Have you heard of him?
The French windmill?
Yes, exactly. I didn't know that was his nickname, but that's pretty cool.
I kind of made that up, but like, Wynn is in his name. Listen, I'm full on. I've been, you know, I'm a huge YouTube basketball fan. I've been on this guy for 4 years now.
Of course. But Perloff was there in the delivery room when this guy was born. That's how long he's been on. Victor Wembanyama, the windmill.
I'm definitely like, I'm a serious YouTube analyst. Like, basically, all I need is a 2-minute highlight reel to make a full decision on a guy.
And his French game.
So I don't know what he's like in the other 99.7% of his playing, but his 2-minute clips are amazing.
Yeah, and if he wasn't 7'2", nobody would know who he is if he walked through the door. But it's a very important name because he will be in the draft next year. And a lot of people, along with Perloff, who was there with Victor Wembanyama when he was in diapers, a lot of people believe Oklahoma City is trying to do one more year of tanking so that they can get the windmill. Our windmills are also Dutch. We should point that out.
I read a different report.
What did you hear?
No, that they're very serious that Jaden Ivey won't go to Sacramento and that the team that is most likely to trade up to get him
would be OKC.
OKC. But if they don't do that, then you're right. Then they're full in for the French kid.
Yeah.
But
I like the French windmill.
It makes no sense,
but I like it.
Have you watched the Orlando Magic play?
Not when I have to.
I'm telling you, I think there's some 3-on-3 teams that could give them a run for their money. I got stuck watching a lot of Magic Sixers game. They are bad. Pistons are bad. Rockets are very interesting. That's another team. They're like, they might not make the playoffs, but they certainly seem to be headed in a good direction. They could use that French kid too.
Everyone could use a French kid. By the way, Perloff was there at his elementary school games.
Not just a random French kid. I mean, like, you need like either a Tony Parker or this guy. Otherwise, or Dominique.
Did you know that there's another guy in the draft and his name is Nikola Jovic?
Yes, I did see that. I cracked
It's like,
up.
Is Michael Jandon like not in this draft? Nikola Jovic. What are the odds?
Okay.
There's going to be guys with names that are one letter off from each other.
Unbelievable. But also, too, there's a guy named Dyson Daniels. Like,
yeah.
If I told you there was Dyson and there was Daniels, like, which is the first name and which is the last name?
Yeah, but that's everywhere.
Yeah,
you live in Brooklyn. Those are the weirdest names probably going to your kids' private schools.
But I was watching the ESPN NBA draft commercial,
yeah,
and they showed Dyson Daniels and then a jersey. I've never seen this jersey in my life. I'm like, who the heck is that? And it turns out he's an Australian kid who was in some kind of minor league that is now a top 10 pick. So there you go. That is the NBA draft summed up in this era.
You got it. There's so many teams that are just like, you got to squint. It's like, you played for who? What was that team?
At least this year, by the way, there are of the top 10 picks. You saw a lot of them in the tournament, which is a rarity. I think we have a little more knowledge. Chet Holmgren's been famous. Jabari Smith has been.
Well, but Chet Holmgren's still a freshman. I mean, it's not like he's been around for that long.
Ben Caro is a Duke, so at least you have a little more to go with. But there's definitely like not a Zion or an Anthony Davis or somebody like that.
Doesn't appear to be. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The French windmill. Like that. Coming up next, the biggest thing helping this new NFL coach. We'll tell you what that is next. Of course, your phone calls, tweets, texts, all welcome. It is the bottom ish of the hour. Time for CBS Sports Update. Here's Chris Lopresti.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. In the Braves' 2-1 win over the Giants yesterday, outfielder Adam Duvall laid out and made a diving grab. Atlanta allowed just one run on 8 hits. What a barn burner, Stu. You really picked a dynamite.
Honestly, the one thing I come in every day is to wonder, who did Stu pick for Defensive Player for the Navy Federal Credit Union Defensive Player of the Week?
You do a bang-up job.
You know, and you couldn't really do the hockey game last night because it was a really good defense. So you did good. Because Adam Duvall's glove is what we're really talking about today.
Well, the Braves were the hottest team in baseball for a while.
And by the way, you're a Mets fan and I'm a Phillies fan, so it's hard for us to talk about the Braves without that grit.
Just very, very scared of the Braves at all times. Let's turn to the NFL. Because we've been hearing some interesting quotes lately, and we feel like they deserved our attention. So let's start with Ndamukong Suh, who was talking about how it looks like it's pretty much over between him and the Tampa Bay Bucks, not going to be coming back. So he was very intrigued by the Las Vegas Raiders.
I like it, to be honest with you. Chandler Jones and Max Crosby, I was exchanging messages with him the other day. It's an interesting opportunity for sure. We'll see where it kind of ends up, but it could be that NFC West is – I mean, the AFC West is very, very tough, which should be fun. You get out of that, you're almost destined to get to the Super Bowl.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, Sue's 35. I thought he was a little younger. That's pretty old for a defensive lineman. He's been effective, but I don't think you pay much for him.
I don't think he's expecting to probably get that much, right? Yeah. I mean, he's not going to be getting like what the Bills paid Von Miller or anything like that.
No, not at all. Nothing like that. But, you know, Sue's used to getting paid a lot. It's interesting. He's doing a car wash at ESPN.
Yeah.
And I felt like there was a little bit of like, hey, is this a tryout right now? Like RG3's on ESPN.
Yep.
Another guy who's sort of a borderline player right now. I don't know. I could see Sue also picking broadcasting, and he's going to be really good.
No doubt. I feel like people will be very interested in what he has to say. I think, you know, the reputation of being a pretty dirty player, but now has kind of gotten past that a little bit in Ndamukong Suh.
Well, he's always like sort of talk to talk, you know, like, but then there was definitely like, it seemed like there were two different Ndamukong Suhs, like the incredibly angry NFL player.
Yeah. And the Detroit years.
The incredible entertaining personality. So it's always been kind of weird. But then again, what do you think about his saying going to the AFC West? Is that something you would want to do as a defensive lineman, or is that the last place you would want to be?
I mean, I'd want to stay in the NFC if I'm really thinking about Super Bowl. Yeah. But to his point, I mean, it's kind of hard to argue, although as a Buffalo Bills fan, I hope he's wrong. But the team that emerges from the AFC West, I think people, either they're going to beat up on each other a lot, or you're going to think this is the most battle-tested team and this is probably the best team. Move on. Another player on those Las Vegas Raiders, that was Darren Waller. He was on with Jim Rome Monday and was talking about his new head coach, Josh McDaniels.
I know it's the change from the jump, you know, just a very intense approach to not only winning, but just the process of it and how early it starts and how much of a commitment it is and how detailed you have to be in the process of it. They've been honest. They've been challenging us and creating a high standard for what we're trying to do. And I feel like that's not going to do anything but bring the best out of people.
All right, so that was Darren Waller on Josh McDaniels. And, you know, it underscores, Perloff, like the amount of clout that you walk into a locker room with when not just that you were a Belichick assistant, because obviously we've seen a ton of them fail, including Josh McDaniels' first time around in Denver, but the fact that he went back one more with the Patriots, even made Mac Jones look good last year as a rookie. I think that has a lot of clout right now.
I don't know. I think it's just a player sort of trying to be nice to his coach. Because, like, didn't everyone love Rich Bisaccia last year in Vegas?
Well, he took over under really tough circumstances.
Yeah, and he did a great job. He led them playoffs. So how soon they forget. I don't buy that I just have such a problem with Patriots guys. The guys have gone back to the Patriots and gone back out to the field again and not worked. I still have a lot to be seen with Josh McDaniels. He was just not great in Denver.
No.
And you
well, they
go
chose
over it all
wrong, too, with Tebow.
You go over it all the time. The Belichick assistants have done nothing.
Well, there's a couple reasons why, I think. First of all, I don't think Belichick tells him everything. Belichick knows everything that's going on, but I think he kind of silos his assistants where they just are so focused on do your job. They just are responsible for their thing. So I don't think they get to see the full, like, everything that makes it go in New England, right?
So why wouldn't that apply to Josh McDaniels?
Well, it might not, but it's interesting where I think the players buy in when they see the amount of winning that he's done.
Yeah, they didn't buy in with Bill O'Brien. They didn't buy in all
yeah, Matt Patricia, we can talk about all of them.
Yeah.
I think there's something, though, about McDaniels this time around. Maybe I'll be wrong.
No, that's just terrible. That's football speak. You say these things about your coach. What is he going to be like? What if he said, oh, this guy's a mess. I can't believe you're our head coach.
Well, considering, I mean, what they were coming off of with Gruden, I mean, maybe it feels a little more buttoned up. Let's move to Chase Claypool, who, where was this, Samter? He was I Am Athlete podcast talking about where he thinks he ranks amongst the best wide receivers in the league.
I'm just saying I'm not normal. I feel that way when I'm on the field. I know for a fact I am not like the rest of the guys in the NFL.
Talk.
I know I'm a top five receiver.
Yeah.
I know I'm a top three receiver.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
keep going. Yeah. Keep going.
You know, I just got to prove the people. Right? When I'm working, I'm like, oh, I'm a dog. Like,
right.
Chase Claypool, top three receiver in the league?
Oh, definitely. I mean, top three is being humble. He's probably the best ever. What the heck is he talking about?
I love Jerry Rice on the line.
I love Chase Claypool. I love the nickname Mapletron that he got as a rookie because he's from Canada.
Mm. We got it.
Just no way. Well, I mean, if you're listening, you didn't know he's from Canada, you might be like, Mapletron. Because that sort of went away because last year he was not good. There's no way he's a top three, top five receiver.
Yeah, I don't see it. I appreciate the kid's confidence in himself. But I also am wondering, how are you going to be a top three or top five wide receiver when your quarterback options right now are Mitchell Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, and Kenny Pickett as a rookie? That's not exactly going to be the, you know, recipe for putting up like all-time numbers.
Yeah. I mean, Steelers receivers, that system churns out gigantic receiver numbers. Deontay Johnson's had some big numbers, even as Ben has fallen apart. So he could have, but look at like last year in a pretty much like a, well, let's see, he had 59 catches, 860 yards in 13 games started. He played 15 games total. That's not top five. That's such a weird statement to me. Well, would you have said top 10 if you're him?
No, but because you love the confidence, you know? If he's not going to be confident himself, then nobody's going
to
be.
Right, but you got to be smart when you're confident. You got to, like, pick the right lane to go in. Top three is just too much.
He was trying to get some attention there. And then final one, which we don't have sound for, but it just came across on the tweet, and that was Rob Gronkowski, the Buccaneers, saying thank you for everything. Rob Gronkowski, this is the most ridiculous retirement story. This is even more ridiculous than Brady's. So Jordan Schultz, our friend of the show, says that he spoke to Gronk today and Gronk says he's retiring. Then Gronk's agent comes out and says, fine, but if Brady calls him mid-season or even next year, he'll come back. What? That's not a retirement. We watched Gronk retire once, Perloff, and then I saw him be the 24/7 champ in the WWE. That was a retirement. This is not. This is, I don't want to go to training camp because I'm Rob Gronkowski and I don't have to.
He did put out an Instagram post that had some really good artwork, which makes me think, like, you invest
his
in the
artwork?
No.
It's, oh, he's purchasing artwork these days?
No, it's somebody did like a sort of photo rendition of him. Yeah, so there was a
lot
of
work. It's like an oil painting of Rob Gronkowski.
There was a lot of graphic design work that went into this Instagram post. But then again, I kind of agree. Like, you know, we've heard this story before. I have trouble believing. You've said all along he's going to wait till November.
Well, his agent just said, when Brady calls mid-season, don't worry, Gronk will pick up the phone. Or next year.
Yeah.
And by the way, and next year, you think they know something that we don't about Brady?
Brady's assuming there's a third team,
and then Gronk's going to follow him yet again?
You assume that there's a logic to the Gronk and Brady plans. Like, they know what they're doing a year from now. Get out of here.
Well, I mean, I don't know why it was a Drew Rosenhaus. I don't know why he would say, or next year. you know?
They have no idea. Gronk doesn't know what he wants to do next week. He's probably debating some pool party in Florida or Vegas.
But it's Bud Light or Natty Light. Whatever. Just pick one. It's all the same. So this is funny, though. You can't even call this a retirement. This isn't... Is there another word we can have? It's a sabbatical. He's taking an NFL sabbatical.
He's passed out?
That's good.
Yeah, right.
But, okay, would you guys be shocked if he just walked away? I would not at all. Like, why did he...
I'd be shocked. When Brady needs him come or just around Thanksgiving, then Gronk's got to be there. It's like contractually obligated as part of their friendship.
The one thing, though, the first year in Tampa Bay, he was taking shots like I could not believe. I'm like, because he's so tall, people just wail on his body. So I could understand. I understand why he walked away the first time, the second time. I'll probably understand it when he does it the third time
and the fourth time. And when Brady's 50 years old and Gronk's like, you got to be kidding me. Just retire. I don't want to do this anymore. Even if I'm a part-time player, I don't want to do this anymore. Has anyone even thinking that Rob's, you know, he's got a Gronk cruise to captain?
Well, funny thing about him, too, is like he's one of those guys who's probably not as old. He's younger than we thought he was. He's 33.
Doubt. Yeah.
Feels like since he already retired, like, oh, he's got to be 36, 37 at this point. He retired at, 31 or 30? So we'll see. Can we wish him well? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, we can't even make like the shuffleboard and retirement jokes because we know he's going to be in pads soon. Yes, after. No?
No, I got nothing.
Oh, I thought you looked like you want to say something.
I think I want to do a show bet. I think he's staying retired. And I think at least he's staying retired through this year, which I think you would take those terms, right?
Yeah, I'll bet against that.
Okay.
His agent just told you to bet against that.
Well, I don't think he's coming back this year. I don't know what's happening in Tampa Bay, but I just don't feel like, I don't think they're going to be contenders necessarily. Like, we'll see.
Oh, well, I'll take you on that bet.
I think
Tampa's going to be a playoff team, or you don't
think
they're going
to probably be? I feel like Gronk needs to be on the brink of a Super Bowl to come back. I don't know if this Tampa team is going to be good enough that everything's going to fall into place where he's going to be like, yeah, that's a Super Bowl.
You think Brady came back for some mediocre football? No chance. Coming up, the biggest sports story in the world gets yet another twist. It's Maggie and Perloff. Don't move.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.